Today's daf is Bechoris Daf Mem, and we are about 15 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Tes Amid Beis, the Mishnah. Today's daf is being learned Le'ilu Nishmas, Reb Shimon ben Reb Zev, and I want to thank Reb Chaim Gluck for his very generous contribution. So we're continuing to discuss Mumin, specifically Mumin that if a Bechor develops on its own, would allow the Kohen to eat the Bechor outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah, Nifgam HaZoivon, the Zoivon is the sack where the Beitzim, the testicles of the animal are. So if that sack was nicked, or if we're dealing not with a Bechor, but we're dealing with ordinary Kachim, which also has Hilchus Mumin as it relates to the laws of Psuliyah Mukdashim. So a Bechor can't be in a Keva, but Mukdashim could be in a Keva. So in the event that the area, that's the Makam Erva of the Nekeva, was also Nifgam, those are considered Mum Kavua. Thus, we would now treat these animals as if they're animals with a Mum. Nifgam Hazonov Min Ha'etzem. If the tail of an animal was Nifgam, but specifically it was the bone, meaning the bone of the tail was nifgan, avoloimen aperek, but if it was the joint, that would not be considered a mum. Oysher roish hazon of mefatzel, or if the tip of the tail is protruding from outside its skin, oysher yesh baser michulyo dechulyo malay etzba, or if there's too much space in between the vertebrae of the tail of the animal, how much is too much? Malay etzba. The Gemara will explain exactly what malay etzba means. Either way, so again, a technical Mishnah which discusses different mumin inside an animal, which can really only properly be appreciated if you're more knowledgeable about the anatomy and physiology of an animal. Unfortunately, we're not. As a result, we do what we do. So the Gemara Amar Abalaza Nifgam Valay Nitam. The Mishnah says Nifgam Hazoivon. Oy ho area, it's considered a mum kavua. It's only if it was nifgam, if it was notched, if it was nicked. But if the zoivon was removed completely, ironically, counterintuitively, that would not be considered a mum. So if you remove the kiss completely, it's not considered a mum. If the kiss is there, but it's nifgam, it is considered a mum. Obviously, when it's nifgam, it's not going to heal. Thus, it's a mum kavua. That's why it's considered a mum. If it's removed, it's going to regenerate. It's going to come back. As a result, it's not considered a mum kavua. Additionally, it's only kiss for loy zachros. The Mishnah says nifgam hazoifon. The sack where the erva is the area where if it's nifgam, it's considered a mum. But if the zachros itself was nifgam, that would not be considered a mum. Tainami hachi nifgam v'loy nitel, kiss v'loy zachros. Amar beis ben amashulim, maiso be'ein bull. There was a story in Ein Bull, shenot loy zev, where a zev came and he removed the kiss of an animal, the chazalei son, and it returned. So you see that that's not a mum kavua. It's only if it's nifgam that it's a mum kavua. But if it's nitel, like we saw in the Brisa, tainami hachi, and like Rabbi Yosef ben amashulim said, maiso shahoye kach hoye, in the town of Ein Bull, if it would be removed completely, it's not a mum kavua because it's going to go back. Nifka hazana b'nayetzim. Tana we learned in the Braisa, etzba sha'amru. So you find the sheer etzba sometimes in Chazal. So the Braisa said that what or which finger is the etzba that the Chachamim were referring to? Echad me'arba b'tefach. It's the finger which is 1/4 of a tefach shal kolodam of the average person. Which, translation, it's the thumb. So the Braisa says that when you find the sheer of etzba, person has five fingers. The five fingers are not all the same size. So which finger is it referring to? It means the one that's 1/4 of a tefach, it's referring to the thumb. Says the Gemara, the Mai Hilchas, this price was referring to a specific halacha. Meaning he wasn't coming to explain every single time you find the term etzba in Chazal that it means the thumb. It was referring to a specific halacha. So the Gemara, which halacha? And the Gemara is going to say three pshatim, which is going to take us on a little bit of a digression. Amar Rabbi Zali in Tcheles, it's referring to Tcheles. I'm going to write a Kamachutanu Noisin. So how many strings are you supposed to have in your tzitzit? B'shamu Eber, B'shamu says arba. It's supposed to be folded over and it becomes 8. Beisulaim Shlaisha. 3 folded over becomes 6. Vikama tehemishu leshes. Beishama yoimrim arba. Ubeisulaimrim Shlaisha. So Rashi has 2 pshat on what exactly this means. 1 pshat Rashi says it's referring to the braided part of the tzitzis. You have the braided part of the tzitzis, the gedil. Then you have the strings that are hanging there. So the question is, what's the shear of the braided part of the tzitzis? So there too, it's a machlokes b'shamay b'sil. B'shamay says 4 etzbois. B'sil says 3 etzbois. Zokta. Braisa, Vishalish, Basiloimrim, the three that Basil will say, that's the right gear. So is Echad Me'arba, but Tefach Shabakal Adam, meaning it's three etzbahs. What type of etzbah? It's referring to the thumb. Incidentally, this is one of the six places where we paskin like Bishamai. Tois Mesach the Sukkah, Daf Gimon Amal Aleph brings from Rav Amram, who said that even though whenever there's machloikis, Bishamai, Basil, Allah is like Basil, Bishamai, Bimokim, Basil, ain't a Mishnah. Not only don't we paskin like Bishamai, but we don't even look at him as another tzad. There's no Bal Nefesh Yachmer. There's no Hamachmer Tovayol of Bracha when it comes to Beishamai. In a Mishnah, it's as if Beishamai's sheet is not even written in the Mishnah. At the same time, there are six times where the halacha is like Beishamai, and this is one of them. How many tzitzis do you have? You have eight, not six. According to Beisil, it would be three doubled over, which would be six. We're passing like Beishamai. But regardless, Rabbah said that this price that said Etzbasha Amru Echod Me'arba B'tefach, what was it referring to? It was referring to this halacha. It was referring to the shear of the gedilim, the braided part of the tzitzis. Machloik is Beishamai, so three etzbais or four etzbais. What's the definition of an etzba? That's the definition. It's referring to a different halacha. The two amos, the two measuring sticks, both of which measured an amo that were in the Beis HaMikdash. Now we look to the Mishnah. Shtei amos hoyu b'Shushan HaBiro. There were two amos in Shushan HaBiro. Achas al keren mizrachis sefoynes. V'achas al keren mizrachis deroymes. So what exactly was Shushan HaBiro? So Rashi says it was a chamber that was on top of the eastern gate in the Beis HaMikdash. It was called Shushan HaBiro because there was a painting inside this chamber of the skyline of Shushan HaBiro. Shushan HaBiro was the capital of the Persian Empire, of Paras Umadai. And when the Yidden built the second Beis HaMikdash, they, in one of the chambers, built this tziur of Shushan HaBiro. Thus, that chamber was known as Shushan HaBiro. Regardless, inside that chamber, there were two amis. One was Al-Kerem Mizrachis Tefoynes, V'achas Al-Kerem Mizrachis Dereibis. Al-Kerem Mizrachis Tefoynes, the one that was in the Kerem Mizrachis Tefoynes was bigger than the ordinary amma. How much bigger? A half a etzba bigger. V'ach Al-Kerem Mizrachis Dereibis, Hoysi Yisera Olel, Chatzi Etzba, was bigger than that one, Chatzi Etzba, Nimtzitz Yisera Shalmoyish Etzba, meaning, if it was a half a etzba bigger than the one that was a half a etzba bigger, back of the envelope arithmetic, it was a full etzba bigger than Moshe Rabbeinu's amplama. What was the point in this? Because when people would sit down, workers, artisans, so they would sit down and work out a deal that they're going to do melacha lebedek habayis. So when they would measure the amount of work that they had to do, they would use the smaller measuring stick. But when they did, they would do with the bigger one. And the reason was, we wanted that there should be a buffer, that they should think they have to do more than they really have to do, so that they don't end up doing less than they have to do. The point was this: when Hektish was going to pay these workers, they were paying them with money that was Hektish. And unless the workers did the work that they had to do to earn this money, the money they got would remain hektish, and any hanah that they would have from it would be me'ilah. So they had to make sure that there was work that they were doing in exchange for the consideration they were getting. Otherwise, the money wouldn't be yotzeh l'chulin, and any hanah that they had, which they were going to have, would end up being me'ilah. So it's for that reason, pashut, to be 100% sure that they wouldn't do less work, we set it up in a way where they had to do more work. So we measured the amount of work they had to do one way, but ultimately when it came to do the work, we used a larger measurement, not because we want them to do more than we're actually paying them to do, but we don't want them to do less. Issa me'ilah, so chomer. If someone's ma'il behektish, even b'shoigig, he has to bring a carbon asham. It's a very big deal, and asham me'ilah is. So to prevent that from happening, so they had this extra measuring stick and was used specifically for these workers. But the Gemara says, tarti lomali, why do you have to have two? So just have one that's a little bit bigger, b'chatzi etzba, or one that's bigger, a whole etzba. You had two bigger ones. One was a chatzi etzba bigger, the other one was a complete etzba bigger. So the Gemara says, chadda dekatsu dehaba, b'chadda debinyana. One of them was for people that were working with stones, a brick, or something like that. There, the one that we made them use when it came time to them actually doing the work was a half etzba bigger, was a full etzba bigger. When it came to zav and kesef, being that it's so precious and it's so expensive, so you can't be mechayev them a full etzba, so it was only a chatzi etzba. So depending on the commodity that they were doing the work with, that determined if the bigger one was a chatzi etzba bigger or if it was a full etzba bigger. Regardless, you have another halach about an etzba. A chatzi etzba bigger, a full etzba bigger, regarding the two amos that were in Shushan HaBiro, said Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, that this braisa that said etzba cha'amru echad narba betafach is referring to this halach. And the third pshar, Rav Nachum Yitzchak b'Tami Rav Huna ben Nosson, said lo'oisa shashoni. You know what it's referring to? It's referring to our Mishnah. The Mishnah said that one of the movement in an animal is if there's basar There's space in between the vertebrae of the tail of the animal, the size of an etzba, that would be considered a mum kavua. What type of etzba? The halacha is, that's this price. So etzba sha'amru echad me'arba betefach shakal. Zok the Mishnah, in lo beitzim, an animal that has no testicles, oy in lo elo beitz achas, or if it only has one testicle, it's considered a mum kavua. Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel says, in yesh lo shnei kisin, if it has two kisin, meaning two sacs, scrotums, where these testicles are. Now, the truth is an animal only has one kiss, but there's a line that separates the kiss that makes it look like two kisim for the two respective beitzim. So if it doesn't have that indentation, that appearance of it being shnei kisim, so then the halacha is it's going to be considered a mum. Yesh lo beis beitzim, but if ein lo shnei kisim, ein lo yelo beitzach. The Gemara is going to explain Rabbi Shmuel's sheet. Rabbi Kiva says, my shiva ala kuzai, that you have to sit the animal down on its backside. Umemaychen yesh beitzim. There's an exam that the veterinarian had to do to determine whether there's one beitz or two beitz. And again, the Gemara is going to explain Rabbi Akiva's sheet as well. So the Gemara, maisa shemiech, there was a story where they did this example of yotza, and they couldn't find the second beitz. And based on that, they assumed that the animal was missing a beitz. Thus, it was a mum. Nishchaton, they shechted it under this premise. Benitza, then afterwards they found it. They hit the Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva said, "No, we did the exam. We couldn't find it. We paskin that it's a mum kavua, even though later it was nizbara that really it was there. But the Chachamim gave us a mesayra that you do the exam. If you do the exam, you can't find it. You can't find it." Gemara says, "Vas Rabbi Yechem ben Nuri." Rabbi Yechem Nuri said, "It's going to be us either way." So we have here a somewhat ambiguous three-way machlokes tanam as it relates to the beitzim of this animal. When it comes to determining whether it has a mum or doesn't have a mum. Again, so the Tanakhama said, ein loy beitzim, or ein loy elo beitz achas. What it sounds like is, if the animal has no beitzim, or if it doesn't have one of the beitzim, it's going to be considered a mum. So, freit the Gemara hashto, ein loy elo beitz achas amar tavi mumo, ein loy klal mi boyo. Once you tell me that if it's missing one, it's considered a mum, why do you have to tell me that if it's missing both, it's b'chal masayimana, right? It's b'chal one is two. So, why do you have to tell me that? It's like the Gemara, kasuri mechso vachitani. You're right, it's a great kasha. And based on that, you have to edit the Mishnah a little. Vachitani, ein loy shtei beitzim, shnei kisim, elo bekes echad. When it says ein loy beitzim, what it means is it doesn't have two beitzim in two kisim. Rather, it has two beitzim in one kiss. I mean, it doesn't mean it doesn't have two beitzim. What it means is it has two beitzim, but the two beitzim were in one kiss. Inami, the second case of the Mishnah, is shnei kisim ubeitza achas, where it had only one beitza, but it was in two kisim. It's two completely different halachas. One halacha is two beitzim in one kiss. The second halacha is one beitzim in two kisim. And the Mishnah says both of these halachas harei zemur. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, what was Rabbi Shmuel's sheet? Also a little bit unclear in the Mishnah. He said, "Yesh loy beis kisim, biyaduah sheyesh loy beis beitz. Ein loy elo kis echad, kimi shein loy elo beitz achas dami." Rabbi Shmuel says, "What matters is how many kisim there are. Two kisim means two beitz. One kiss means one beitz. Meaning, where the Tanakhama said that if there's two kisim and one beitz, it's a mum." Rabbi Shmuel says, "No, yesh loy beis kisim, biyaduah sheyesh loy beis beitz." Asked Rabbi Akiva the Meimar. Rabbi Akiva came to say, "Biyodua lo yamrina." He said, "Rabbi Shmuel, I don't agree with this biyodua. Meaning, it's not automatically a mum like the Tanakhama, but at the same time, I also don't agree with the biyodua. I mean, if you can't find the beitza, don't assume it's a mum. And Rabbi Shmuel, just because it's two kisim, don't assume that it's not a mum. What do? There's an exam. Moishivya lakuzay umemaych. You sit it on its backside and you do this examination. And yesh beitza soifal lotzis. Mishnah said, "Umaysa shmeich v'layotzis." Tanya Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi said, "Maysa bepiron shal beis menachim." So Rabbi Yosi gives us the rest of the story, the extended version of this maisa that the Gemara mentioned very much b'kitzur in the Mishnah. It was a story in Piran Shal Beis Menach, Shemich V'lo Yatzos, where they did this exam following Shitas Rabbi Akiva, and they couldn't find the second beitza. So, v'nishchata, they shechted it, assuming that it was a balmum. V'nimtzas dvuka b'ksolim, and then afterwards they found that it was attached to the flanks of the animal. B'kitzur, they found it. V'itur Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva was matir. V'os Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri said that it was us. Omle Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. Mamonim Shal Yisrael. He said, "Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, you're being machmer on the cheshbon of Mamonim Shal Yisrael. We did the bedika. We couldn't find it. If we couldn't find it, we have to assume that it was a balmum." Amalei Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri told Rabbi Akiva, "It's very nice that you're concerned about the mumminess, the monetary cheshbonis. But what about the spirituality? What about the yeridei component?" He said, "Ad masay at the Michael Yisrael Nevelis. You're giving it in nevelis. Lav mishcha chachti. Nobody said that. We didn't check. What's a nevela? Nevela is when you eat an animal that you didn't do a proper shechit to it. No one said don't check the animal. Gemara says you're right. Yerachman Nuri says elatreifus. Why are you feeding the yidden treifus? Gemara says treifus. Not a treif either. Lo yis a treifus. Ella, you're right. And masa at the maicha yisrael kachim b'chutz. Right. What's at stake over here was pun intended. Was not nevelos and it wasn't treifus. Right. We're not discussing hilchos nevelos and treifus. That was masach teschulin. Well, we're discussing that you're going to do a proper shechita. You're going to be baidik derei. Everything is going to be perfect. It's going to be glatt b'syoysa. The issue over here was something else. The issue is that if the animal had a mum, then it's chulin. If the animal did not have a mum, then it's kachim. So really what's at stake here is the iser kachim b'chutz. So the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva was more concerned. He was focused more on Mamayna Shal Yisrov, whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he was more focused on the kachim b'chutz aspect of it. So the Mishnah Vayter, more mumin. And again, more technical movement. Baal chamesh regal, if an animal has five legs, or if it only has three, v'sher raglav klutos kishel chamar, if its legs, its hoofs, are like the hoofs of a donkey, v'hashachol v'hakosav, zeh shachol shenishpat yirecha, it means if the thigh bone, the femur, slipped out of place, v'kosav is she'achs merichayim gevoyes, where one of the thighs are taller than the other. Rav Huna said that when the Mishnah says if it has chamesh reglayim, it's considered a mum. That's only if it's in its forelegs, its proverbial hand. Avul reglayim, if it's in its hind legs, treif anami havi, then it's not only considered a mum, but it's also a treif. Meaning, from the Mishnah, it sounds like a baal chamesh reglayim is a halacha. It's a sif katan in hilchas pachayrus. The truth is, said Rav Huna, in the event that it was one of the hind legs, it wouldn't only be a sif katan in hilchas pachayrus; it would actually be a sif katan in hilchas chulin as well, in hilchas treifos, because there's a rule that kol yeser is kenotol dami, and as a result, if an animal would be missing one of its hind legs, it would be considered a treifa. So if it has an extra hind leg, it has to be considered a treifa as well. Rapapa said that when the Mishnah said that if its feet are klutois kishel chamar, it's considered a mum. There's two unique characteristics about the hoofs of a chamar versus of a regular kosher animal. Number one, the chamar is more round. Number two, it's not split. Chamar is a non-kosher animal. It doesn't have any of the simonim of a non-kosher animal. So Rapapa said that don't think in order for it to be a mum, it would have to have both of the simon of a chamar. No. As long as it's rounded, even if it doesn't have the split hooves, that alone, or even if it does have the split hooves, the fact that it's rounded like that of a chamar, that would be enough for it to be considered a mum kubub. Ashachav ha-kosav, Tanu Rabbani, zeh u-kosav, ezeh u-shachal. So the Mishnah already said, shachal shenishpat yirecha. Shachal means where the femur slipped out of place. Kosal is sheraglay echad betoich ha-kesel, veraglay echad al-gabi ha-kesel. So one of the legs is inside the flank, and the other one is on top of the flank. The point is, they're not the same. As a result, it's considered a mum. Tana ha-sarua v'ha-kala. These are also movement with an animal. Sarua is shenishtar v'v'le-yerecha. It means his yerech, his thigh is too long, which is different, incidentally, than the kossel. The kossel is an animal where the thighs are not equal. But there, it's not because the thigh itself, one is longer than the other, but one is betoicha kessel, and one is lemaila mena kessel. The reason one gives off the appearance as being longer than the other is simply because of where it's affixed to the animal, as opposed to a sarua, where the actual thigh of one is longer than the other. Sheneshtarviv lo yurecha. Which was one of the movement that was mentioned in the Mishnah. If the animal has a broken hand or a broken foot, even if it's not nicker, the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean if it's not nicker? That it's a mum shavaseisa. We know mum shavaseisa is not considered a mum. So, the Mishnah. All the aforementioned movement, everything discussed so far in this parak, Ayala, who was a big mumcha in Bechairis, as we've seen, he in Yavna, post Chorban Beis HaMikdash, told the Chachamim, these are the movement they have to be aware of. V'hoidu loy Chacham. V'hoid gimel hoysef. And then he was moysef another three. Amrulay, they told him, loy shamanu el azelu. These other three, this we don't have a Messiah. But the first ones we agreed, those not. What were the other three that Ayala told the Chachamim weren't moided to? Number one, shagal galeni ogul kishaladam. If the eye of the animal is round, like that of a human being, upiv daim mikishal chazir. The mouth of the animal is like that of a chazir. V'shenitol roi v'amadabi b'lashoynoi. If the majority of the part of the tongue that talks, I mean the part that's not attached to the throat, the part that's a little bit more flexible, if most of that part is removed, these would be considered movement. See, talk to Mishnah. Even though loy hoydu loy chachamim, but Bezdin shall achareya mamur hareza mumma. Bezdin came later, and that Bezdin said that these things would be considered a mum. Zok de gemara. And the Mishnah said, nishbar etzem yadav etzem ragloy, even if it's not nikr, it's considered a mum. Figure one in a nikr, mikavi mumma. If it's not nikr, this is mumma 101. Klal pratu klal, the first gemara in the parak. We learned that if it's a mum shebeseis, it's not considered a mum. Amar papa in a nikr machas matzu, have a nikr machas malach. You have to say what it means is when you look at the animal, you don't see the break. But at the same time, if it's going to do work, then you're going to notice it. And the fact that you would notice it while it's doing malacha, that would be enough for it to be considered a mum shebegalim, mum and elumana. Zok the gemara, maybe the lav hainu urche. The first of the three additional mumin that Ayala said in Yavne, that initially the Chachamim were maided to, and then the Bezin Shacharim came around, was if the eye of the animal was round like that of a human being. Is that obviously not the way an animal is supposed to look? If it's a mum, then there's something unnatural about it. Rabbi, I'll ask you a kasha. Hamapelis min behem v'chayvav, a woman who miscarried a child, and the child did not look like a human being. It looked like a behema, a chayav, no, ben tmei, ben tar. Whether it was a behema, chayav, that's tamei, or whether it was tar, im zachar, if it was a male, teishiv l'zachar. She has to follow what the Torah says in the beginning of Parshas Tazria, the yimei tum and the yimei taira of a zachar. Im nekeva, teishiv l'nekeva. In your dua, let's say it's not clear, teishiv l'zachar, ul nekev divirame. If a woman miscarries a oif, so now she has to sit, you may tummy, you may tire, or a chayr or behema, what's poshub shat? So Rabbi Rachana said in the name of the great Rabbi Yochanan, he says, you want to know why? Because even though animals and human beings are different, but there is one characteristic that's very the same. Their eyes are the same. Because a regular animal's eye is round like that of a human being. Our Mishnah says it's a mum kavua. I'm Rabbi Yosef Leikasha. The black part of the eye, or the white part of the black, the pupil of the eye is supposed to be black. So there, it's always round. In turn, not black, round. The white part of the eye is usually not round by an animal like it is by a human being. And that's what Ayala meant when he said that if it's going to be round like that of an Adam, it's going to be considered a mu'upiv doima kishol chazir. Amar Rapapa. Rapapa said, loy tema de shofit upar. So Rashi has two pshat and what shofit uparas are. One means that there's a split in the lips, in the mouth of the animal of the chazer. The other one means that part of it protrudes over the other. Rashi's just not sure which one is shofet and which one is paris. But the bottom line is, if the kosher animal's peh is like the chazer, said Rapapa, doesn't mean that it has to have both characteristics of the chazer. Lo yitema de shofet ufaris, elekimet uparis, avakav to lo yishofet, that would be enough. Vichinito roiv hamedaber shebil shoyne. If it's missing most of its tongue, but not most of the entire tongue, most of the part of the tongue that talks. Masisa mani Rabbi Yehuda, Tanya Vashanito Rav Aloshan. Rabbi Yehuda Oimen, not Rav Aloshan, but rather Rav HaMedaber Shal Vashayne. Zok the Mishnah, Umaisa. So the Mishnah begins with a story. Shalechi Atachtoin Oidef Ala Elyoin, where the lower jaw of the animal protruded over the upper jaw. Vishal Rav Gamliel Chachamim, and Gamliel asked the Chachamim, is this considered a mum? Va'omrin, the Chachamim told him, I raise a mum, it's considered a mum. Frek the Gemara, Maitani Diktani Umaisa. It's a very interesting way to start a Mishnah. Right, usually on Mishnah tells stories sometimes, but usually it's going to be halacha. And then Rabbi Yehuda, for example, who often does this in Shas, will say Maisa Shahaya to support something that he said. But usually you start with halacha, and then the Maisa supports the halacha. Here we're starting with the Maisa. So Freit the Gemara, Maitana Diktaniu Maisa. It's going back on the previous mission. Previous Mishnah said that one of the three mumin that Ayolo said in Yavna, and the Bezin Shlachrayim was Maida, was Piv Daimel Chazir. Upligi Rabbanon Aleh de Rabbi. And the Rabbanon argued. The Rabbanon said Piv Daimel Chazir is not considerable. And we said, what does Piv Daimel Chazir mean? It means two things. Number one, there's a split in the mouth. Number two, the top part of the animal protrudes over the lower part. That's a unique characteristic of the chazer, which according to Ayala would be considered a mum if you, a regular kosher animal had it. According to Chacham, it wouldn't be considered a mum. On that, Zok the Mishnah. That's only if the upper went over the lower. Over there, the Rabbanon argued with Rebbe who brought Ayala's halacha. But if the lower part protruded over the upper part, it would be considered a mum. And there was a maisa shoya kachoya. That's this last Mishnah, where the lechi atachtin protruded over the elyoin. V'shol Rabbi Shimon Gamliel lechachamim, v'amru lechachamim paskin, harei zeh, I'm afraid to Gemara, is it really a mum? Vagabi Adam Hu. This is one of the women that are mentioned by Adam. The time we learned in the Mishnah. And this Mishnah is in a few days. It's on Daf Mem Dalet. And the Mishnah over there is discussing, it's actually the next parak, not woman of an animal, but rather woman of a human being. So the Gemara is going to go from learning this halach and digress a little bit, meaning we're learning Mesachtes Bechairis, which deals with Hilchas Mumin of an animal, to determine whether it's a Bechar Tam or Bechar Bamum. And the Gemara is going to then talk about different Mumin that possible a kind that has a Mum is not allowed to do the Avoid. So it's going to go and talk about Mumin of a kind. And there we're going to have different Mumin. One of the Mumin that I mentioned there is Svasa El Yoyna, Oidefes Al Atachtoina, Oisha Tachtoina, Oidefes Al Yoyna. Hareza Mum. So a human being, and that's considered a Mum. Now, one of the themes that we'll see in Yetz Hashem in a few days is that the laws of movement as it relates to an Adam are different than as they relate to an animal. In fact, they're much more stringent. And the reason is, like the Gemara says, Gabi Adam, who dechsev ishish mizera harin, ishish of mizera harin, there's a halacha that in order for a kohen to be able to do the avoida, it has to be an ordinary person. If there's something that's extraordinary, even if it's not a mum per se, but there's something a little irregular, a little unusual, that would be enough for him to be possible. Now, it's mashma, svasa yoyna, devas al tachtoyna, tachtoyna, devas al yoyna, was mentioned in that Mishnah, not in this Mishnah. It's a very glaring diuk that in that Mishnah, where there's a halacha of ish, shesh, of a bizarre, shalah, and there is such a halacha, but over here, not. So, Frank the Gemara, how could you tell me that this maisa was coming to support a halacha? That if the lechia tachtoyna was a devas al yoyna, it's considered a mum. I hear, but it's not mashma that way from the Mishnah Daf Mem Dalet, because in that Mishnah it's mefurish when we talk about the woman of a kohen that lechia tachtin devas al yoyin is considered a mum, and the diak is screams that the Mishnah mentioned it there, not here. So it's mashma over here, it's not considered a mum. So how do you understand then our Mishnah? Zoktim amra popolei kasha. This beyetzem hadales beyetzem. There's two types of lechia tachtin zaydefes al yoyin. This is where the lechia tachtin zaydefes, but the bone is protruding. Or there is no bone that's protruding. If the bone is protruding, that's a real mum, even by the hema. That Mishnah is talking about, even where it's not the bone, over there it's considered a mum by a koyen, because at the end of the day, you're not shove a bizarre shalaharin. Or if this relates to a behema, or would it be considered a mum? Another halacha. Oizen hagidi. So the first mum that was mentioned in the parak was related to the ears of an animal, so we return to the ears of an animal. If the oizen hagidi shoizakfula, an animal had two ears, or at least what gave the appearance of having two ears on the same side, obviously. If it has one cartilage, the etzem usually means bone, but in the Gemara it's going to be mavur that it doesn't mean the bone, but rather it means the cartilage. So there the halacha is, if it has one bone, it's a mum. Bizman she'im by etzem, Rashi's girsa is, bizman she'im by etzem echad, but rather it has two cartilages, ain't a mum. In that case, it's not going to be considered a mum. So two ears on one side, is it a mum or not? Depends. One cartilage, yes. Two, no. Rav Chananya ben Gamliel Loimer, Zonav Hagdish Udam L'Shal Chazir, if the tail of a goat looks like the tail of a chazir, or V'she'im B'Shalish Cholyos, if it doesn't have three vertebrae, Harezem, Zakti Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, Piv Balum, if the mouth of the animal is swollen, Viraglav Mivulamas, or its legs are swollen. So is it a mum or not? Machmas Aruach, if it's because of wind that it inhaled, and it Machmas Aetzem, if there's something internal because of a bone inside, Harezem, Oznov Kefulois, what if it has two ears? Bichas Chosus Achas, if it has one cartilage, Harezem, Bishtechas Chosios, Enoi Mum, if it has two cartilages, it's not a mum. This is where you see, incidentally, the Mishnah said Aetzem, the Brisa says Chas Chosos, so you see that Aetzem really means cartilage. Rabbi Gamliel Loim, Zonav Agdi, Shehudoima, Lishel Chazir is considered a mum. Amr Rapapa, so Rapapa said, there's two unique characteristics, again, with the tail of a Chazir. Number one, it's small. Number two, it's round. So Rapapa said, when we said the Zonav Agdi, that Zonav Chazir is considered a mum, Loi Tema de Katina, Vikaricha. As long as it's rounded like a chazer, even if it's big, meaning it's not small like a chazer, one of these two characteristics would be enough to make it a mum kavua. So if the tail, which is made up of vertebrae, clearly we see that in our sugya, didn't have three vertebrae, it's going to be considered a mum. Rav Huna said, if it has two, it's considered a mum. If it doesn't have three, Rav Huna said, when we're talking about a gdi is a goat, it's a mum. Sholosh, ain't a mum. Betleh, a sheep, sholosh, if it has three, it's still considered a mum. Because apparently there's more vertebrae in the tail of a sheep. It's only arba. If it has four, ain't a mum. Faith more mace, I'll ask you a kasha. Bigdi, achas, I raise a mum, shtaim, ain't a mum. Betleh, shtaim, I raise a mum, sholosh, ain't a mum. Rav Huna was off by one, on both with regards to his definition of how many vertebrae the goat and of how many vertebrae the sheep could be missing for it to be considered. Zok to Gemara, Tiyufta de Rav Huna. Okay, Rav Huna is up gefragt. That's clear. But why did Rav Huna make this mistake? Zok to Gemara, Masnis Atisei. He was led to make a toast by the Mishnah. Iu Savar, Rav Huna thought, Midereisha Bigdi, Seifa Nami Bigdi. What did the Seifa of the Mishnah say? Rav Chananya ben Gamliel Loimer, Zonav Agdi, Shudoyme L'Shechazer. And then it said, V'she'im B'shol V'shchul Yois. Rav Huna thought, Zon of Agdi Shudoyme L'Shechazer is talking about Agdi. And then it says, V'she'im B'shol V'shchul Yois. It sounds like it's referring back to the same Gdi. So it's a Mefurish Mishnah, Rav Huna thought, that a Gdi that doesn't have three Chul Yois is considered a Mum. If it has two chulyos, it's not considered a mum. So what determines whether a gdi's tail has a mum or not? It's two chulyos or three chulyos. That's what Rav Huna thought. Rav Huna made a mistake. The lohi resha bigdi v'sefer betle zon of hagdi, where it says mefurish gdi shudayim l'shal chazir. That part of the mission is referring to gdi. V'shem b'shal l'shchulyos is not referring to gdi, but rather it's referring to tle. Rav Huna made a tignusoyme eshe yabelas be'enov, an animal that has a wart in its eye. V'shenifke matzav yadav v'ragloi, or the bone in its hand or its leg was notched. V'shenifrek atzmoy shal piv, or the bone of its mouth was nicked. Einoy achas gedoy levachas ktana. One big eye and one small eye. Ozei achas levachas ktana. One bigger, one smaller. The halacha is b'marav alei b'mita. If they look different, meaning if you're going to sit there with a measuring stick and you're going to see one is a little bigger than the other, that's not an issue. It has to be that when you look at it, you notice it. Rabbi Yehuda says shtei beitzav. It's two testicles. Achas gedoy lo kishnayim shebet chavirta. If one of them is twice as big as the other, that's also considered a mum. Meaning, in the previous Mishnah we had in the beginning of the daf, if it's missing one of its beitzim, or we had the moch and the nasuk, and that was in yesterday's daf. Here we have where it has both of the beitzim. It's just that one is much bigger than the other. So if it's two times the size as the other one, that's considered a mum. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said. Lehoydu loy chachamim. Zok to Gemara. Rabbi Chanan ben Antigua said, a yabeles, a wart, in the eye of the animal is considered a mum. The memory of the yabeles have a mum. Fremen, I'll ask you a kasha. The elu she'in shoichten aleyen. The Mishnah, this is going to be in tomorrow's daf, is going to discuss mumin that don't allow you to shecht a bechar anywhere you want. Meaning, till now we've been discussing mumin in what context? That behemas kachim, ordinarily you have to bring as a carpet. What if it develops a mum? So now, if it's ordinary kachim, you can be paidit, psuliyam miktashim, and follow the steps. You can't do avoida, but there are things you're allowed to do. If it's a bechar, it's much more kuladik. You can even check it. You can do whatever you want with it. You can treat it 100% as chul. And the Mishnah later is going to discuss that there are different mumin that are not such mumin that they allow you to treat it now as psuliyam mikdashim, that they allow you to treat it as chulin. But at the same time, they are mumin that they don't allow you to bring it as a carbon to the base of mikdash. So these mumin are in shoichten aleihem, loy b'mikdash, for loy b'medina. Loy b'mikdash, it's considered a mum, but also loy b'medina. It's also not a mum in the sense that you can't do whatever you want. Now in that Mishnah, the Mishnah says, ve'elu shein shoichten aleihem b'mikdash loy b'medina, bal garav, u bal yabeles. We need yabeles, we don't need garav, but it says before is yabeles. So we have a stira. Here, Rabbi Chimen Antigua said, a yabeles is considered a regular mum kavua. It even allows you to shecht it bachutz. And here you have a Mishnah that says that it's included in the elu shein shoichten aleihem loy b'mikdash loy b'medina. It's mamash a stira from one Mishnah to the next. But the Gemara says, v'tisbara, let's take a step back. Could we even be having this conversation? What, we're not sure if Yabelos is a mum? Haksiva. All you have to do is be Mavasedra and you'll know that it's a mum. The Pasuk says, Yabelos. It's what? Iveris, I shover, I charitz, I Yabelos. By Reis, it's a Pasuk in the third. Oh, you have to say there's different types of Yabeloses. And that's really going to take us to the end of this Gemara. What are the two Yabeloses? Zok to Gemara, like Kasha, Habiguva, Habeina. There's Yabelos in the guf, a wart that a person will have on his body. And then there's a wart that he's going to have in his eye. What did the Mishnah say? Rab Chanin ben Atik Nasoy Meshe Yabelos. He was talking about Yabeles in the eye. That Yabeles is nothing to talk about as to the Yabeles. When the Mishnah said that there's a Yabeles that is a mum, but it's also not a mum, that's referring to on its guf. But the Gemara says mechti, cross stomachs. The Pasuk doesn't get involved with Yabeles in the eye or not in the eye. So if that's the case, mali begufoi, mali beinoi, sakti Gemara, elo, you have to say, loi, kasha, hadi ispa etzim, hadi les ba'etzim. The chilik is not whether it's in the Moshi. So you have to say there's no chilik, but rather one is talking about Moshi, you have cover?
What's the cover?
What's that? Sirens? Yeah. One is talking about where the abelis was in the has a bone. The other one's talking about where it doesn't have a dikra. The abelis of the pasuk is talking about the isba'etzem, where there's a bone inside the wart. If there's a bone inside the wart, it's considered a mum for sure. Masnis and the last batsim. Mishnah, however, is talking about where there's no bone. Both Mishnayos are talking about where there's no bone. The enoi, the yabelis of the Mishnah, by us, has an ayin, havimuma, despite the fact that there's no etzim, the gufa. If it's in the gufa, havimuma. Zokte gemara v'lesla, etzim, the gufa, psula. Can't be. Because if the second Mishnah is talking about where the yabelis was in the guf, and it's talking about where there's no bone, it wouldn't be considered a mum at all. Hare tiltu ba'almohu, it's just a piece of sagging skin. Now we learn to the Mishnah, b'lezo, I mean, ba'al tiltulim, psulin, ba'adam, k'sherim, be'behema. We know that it's kasha by behema. Samara says, you're right. You have to say that both Mishnayos are talking about where it was in the ayin. V'loi kasha ha'b'shachar ha'b'lov. And again, the pasuk is talking about where the abelis had an etzim. The two Mishnayos are not talking about where there was no etzim. And you're right, if the animal would have a yabelis with no etzim in the guf, it wouldn't be considered a mum. But both Mishnayos are talking about where it was in the eye. How do you have a steer if they're both in the eye and there's both with no etzim? So how do you reconcile these two Mishnayos in? So the Gemara says, you have to say that one is talking about it was in the shachar, and habalavan, the black part of the eye, the white part of it. The Gemara said, they ain't mum in the lavan. The Gemara said already that a mum in the white part of the eye is not considered a mum. Ella, you're right. Edivi lavan. You have to say that they're both talking about was in love. Again, we're talking about where the abelis of the pasuk is talking about where there's an etzem. The abelis of the mishnayos is talking about where there's no etzem. Rather, my apologies for the distraction. So the abelis of the pasuk is talking about where there's an etzem. The abelis of the two mishnayos is talking about where there's no etzem. And if it was on the gulf, it would have been considered a. It's good thing you have your sunglasses, Moshe. If it was in the protect the abelis. If you didn't have a, if there was no mum, then if there was no nachal, the abelis of the pasuk is talking about where there's an etzem. The abelis of the two mishnayos are talking about where there's no etzem. And if it was on the gulf, if the show wouldn't be a mum, it's a tilta ba'alma. It's talking about when they were both in the eye, but not in the white part of the eye, because the white part of the eye is a moot point. But rather, they're talking about in the black part of the eye. When is it considered a real mum, and when is it considered only a mum that you can't be makrivit, but at the same time you can't check on it? Had the ispa seyer, had the less seyer. It depends if there's a here, if there's no here. In achas gedoyla, if one eye is big and one eye is small, it's considered mutano. What does gedoyla mean? Gedoyla kishal egel, has to be as big as the eye of a calf. Ketano, what does that mean? Kishal avas, as a goose. Osne achas gedoyla. If one ear is big and one ear is small, it's also considered rabbanu not kamo. Then the Mishnah mentioned the machloikis with regarding the beitzim of the animal, where Rabbi Yehuda said shtei beitzim of achas gedoyla kishnayim b'shevachaverit. If one is twice the size of the other one, it's considered a mum. V'loy haydu leichacham zok the Gemara v'rabbanan ad kama, meaning how much the rabbanan amayda. What if one is so much bigger than the other? So the Gemara Tanya cherim ma'imrim afila ein neshei ala kapul cher. Even one of them is the size of a pole. A bean, even then, it would be considered kosher. Baita, son of an eagle, shade of magas la arkoiv, if the tail of the eagle doesn't reach the arkoiv. So that's one of the joints of the thigh of the animal. Amru chachamim, kol marbis agolin, kol kain, kol manchu magad lahim nem tachos. The chachamim are supporting what the Tanakhama is saying, meaning they're explaining why it's considered a mum if it doesn't reach down to the arkoiv. The reason is because an animal's tail always stretches. So if it can't stretch to the point where it can reach the arkoiv, the joint inside the thigh, it's for that reason it's going to be considered a mum. Ezo arkoiv sham. What exactly is the arkoiv? It's referring to the joint that's in the middle of the thigh. I mean, there's different joints in the thigh. So which one is it? It's the one that's in the middle. Tana, kefetz or elyoin, for like kefetz hatachtoin. It means the upper one that's in the middle and not the lower one that's in the middle. It's the one that if it was the equivalent thereof in a camel, you'd be able to see it. That one. Here you can't see it. But that's the one that we're referring to. One more Mishnah. All the aforementioned mumin that we just discussed, the halacha is you're allowed to shecht the bechar. It's considered a mum that number one, you can't be makrivit on the mizbech. Number two, you could shecht it. If it's a regular kachim, it's psuli hamikdashim. And if it's a bechar, you'd be able to shecht it. Psuli hamikdashim, niftin aleihem. That's essentially what the Mishnah is saying. Really, this Mishnah is Chazaras Hashir of everything that we had. Didn't it say it in the Reisha? What did the Reisha say? Al Elu Mumin Shaytan Esabachar. The name of the Perek is Perek Al Elu Mumin. And Perek Al Elu Mumin began with the Halacha of Al Elu Mumin Shaytan Esabachar. And we had a whole bunch of technical Dafin and Mishnayas and Brises that discussed these Halachas. So now we need a Chazara. Mishnah. And then we chazer. We conclude the discussion. I mean, this is the end of this discussion. We're going to go Indian. But for now, this part of the laws of women, we're concluding by saying again, Aleilu Mumin Shaykh Tenas Abachar. So why do you have to chazer it? Once it says Aleilu Mumin Shaykh Tenas Abachar, we know Aleilu Mumin Shaykh Tenas Abachar. So the Gemara says, if it's Shrikha, Psuli Amikdash, Niftan Aleil. That the first Mishnah didn't say. The first Mishnah said Aleilu Mumin Shaykh Tenas Abachar. It affects the laws of Bachar. How do you know it affects the laws of Psuli Amikdash as well? That's the Chat. But the Gemara says, Anami Pshita, Mishcha Chachtinon, Mifrik Mibaya. Once you know that you're allowed to Shekh the Bachar for this moment, certainly you could be Pai the Psuli Amikdash with this moment. Because it's a big Chiddish that you should be able to Shekh the Bachar. By a Bechor, you treat it like ordinary chulip. So the Mikdashim still has halachas of kachim. So the Gemara says, you're right. Being that we mentioned a whole bunch of halachos that were mentioned in the names of a minority opinion. So for example, Ayala had three mumin for lehoidu lechachamim. For amru lehoishamanu ele eselu. For ktani v'asedi yechida. And then the Mishnah went ahead and mentioned different tanam b'loshen yachid. Reb Chanin ben Gamliel, Reb Chabin ben Aktignos, v'kasasam lu b'kulu. And it didn't mention anything as it relates to the chachamim. So we learned from there. Aleinu mumin shaykh tzabachar, b'sulem ha'gdash niftin aleim. It's coming to tell me that even those halachas that were mentioned as a das yachid, the halacha is going to be like them. Excel. So before we end today's daf, two aras. One related to women, and the other one is a little bit of a digression that's somewhat related to today's daf. So as it relates to women, so again, we just finished the first part of the halachas of women, and we see that sometimes an animal that has a mum can become so removed from you being allowed to be makivit on the mizbeach that not only is there halacha that you can't put it on the mizbeach, but it becomes chulin. If it's a bechor, it becomes chulin mamish. If it's an ordinary kachim, it's an oila, chata, shlomim, so it's not mamish chulin, but it's psuli abikdashim. So you can be poided, and when you're poided, it's going to become ordinary chulin. Now the truth is that if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, there's mitzvah after mitzvah after mitzvah that discusses the halachas of mumim. It's very interesting. Mitzvah resh pehe, shalei naktish bali mumim makriv lemizbeach. Now it'll be maktish bal mum. I mean, if an animal has a mum, there's a loisase. We'll talk about that in a second. To be makdashed, to be allowed to put it on the mizbech. Reish peyavav, mitzvahs hakrovas liyas tamim. There's a mitzvah's essay to only be makriv a tamim. So if somebody would be makriv an animal that has a mum, you'd be over this mitzvah's essay of being makriv only a tamim. Reish pey zayin, shiloi nitein mum bekachim. If you have an animal that's kachim, you're now let it be matul mum. Reish pey ches. Shiloi nizrik dam dam mum al mizbech. If you have an animal that has a mum and you shechted it already, you can't do zrika. Reish pey tes. Shiloi nishchet bali mum l'shem karbin. Reish tzadik. Shiloi naktir e murei bali mum. Incidentally, there's more halachas as well. But just right here in succession, reish pey hey through reish tzadik. Oh, all different halachas that relates to mum. So let's just speak out one ha'ara as it relates to the first one. Shiloi naktish bali mum l'akriv l'gabim mizbech. And again, I think it gives us a better appreciation of some of the sugyas that we're learning right now. There's an isser to take an animal that has a mum and to be makdashet. Harezu chatas, harezu oila. On an animal that has a mum, you're over a loisase. Shalei naktish bali mumin lehakrivam lemizbech. Now the truth is, if you think about it, this loisase is the flip side of the same coin of the isser to be matal mum b'kachem. What's this to be matal mum b'kachem? You have an animal that's kachem, you're not allowed to be matal mum. You can't take something that's kachem and give it a mum. This is the reverse. This is where you have an animal that has a mum, and now you want to make it kachem. At the end of the day, you're going to end up with the same thing. If you're matal mum b'kachem, or if you're matish about mum, you can end up with an animal that's kachem that has a mum. The Torah doesn't want that. The Torah doesn't not only not want you to be mak of an animal that has a mum. The Torah doesn't even want you to have a kachem that's a mum. That's how far the harchak is. It's similar to the isser bishul basa v'chala. Right? Not only can you eat basa v'chala, you can't even cook basa v'chala because derech bishul asa Torah. So if you're going to cook the basa v'chala, now you're going to have that cheftz of isser basa v'chala the Torah doesn't want you to eat. So there's an isser bishul basa v'chala. It's in that vein. You can't be mak of a mum b'kachem. You also can't be makdish an animal that has a mum. Michas chinuch declares. Let's say you have an animal that's a roiva v'nerva. You have a yotze doifin, kalayin, different psulim that an animal could have that wouldn't allow you to put it on the mizbech, and you makdish it. Are you over the issish loy nakdish bali mumin leakriv on the mizbech? The mechzchirich discusses it, and he says no. He brings rayas to it. It's a halachin mumin. So this is a chaymer in the psul mum that again brings out, it emphasizes how chamer mum is, that you're not even allowed to create the metzius of an animal that's kachim that has a mum. If it's kachim first, it can't be makal mum. What we know as matal mum bekachim v'chamum layeboy, but there's another issa. It's learned that from kolash aboy mum leisakrivu, and we learn from there mitzvah reish pehei in the sefer achinuch shaloi nakdish bali mumim lahakrivam lemizbeach. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Yisurim Mizbeach brings this halacha perik aleph halacha beis. The Rambam says that if somebody goes ahead and he violates this halacha, he's makdish a bal mum. Says the Rambam harez aloika, he's gonna get malchus. The sefer achinuch here in reish pehei, and again in Reish Pei Vav, brings this Rambam. He's matmi on the Rambam. He says the Rambam is Tzarech Talmud. Why is he Tzarech Talmud? Because L'chayra, the Issa to be Makdish about Mum, is a Lav She'en by Maisa. And we know that Lav She'en by Maisa ain't like it all. So Reish Pei Vav, it's very interesting, literally one mitzvah to the next. In Reish Pei Vav says the Chinuch, Val Masha Amash in Hikdish Leika, Tzarech Talmud. That's what the Chinuch says. In Reish Pei Hei, one mitzvah earlier, he also brings the Rambam, and there he says a Pshat. Ironically. You get Malkus. Why do you get Malkus? Says the Chinuch, maybe the Rambam held that being Makdish about Mum is like being over the Issa Tmura. Sheyesh by Malkus, where the Loch is this Malkus, I think it could be it's the same. And then the Chinuch says, that even though I'm not sure, but at the end of the day, if that's what the Rambam says, the Elav Nishma, the Torah Nevakish Mipiu, Ki Malach Hashem Tzvaka Yisro. Beautiful. Says the Chinuch that I think we have to accept whatever the Rambam says. I'm a Rav Doimel Malach Hashem Tzvaka Yisro, Yivakish Torah Mipiu. So the Chinuch, in a moment of distractions, discussing this Rambam of Makdish Balmum and the Rambam who says that you get Malkus. Why do you get Malkus? Alav Shein Bei Maisa. He says, maybe the Rambam treated it like Tmura. But at the end of the day, he says, I'm not sure. But regardless, Elav Nishma V'Teirin Avakash Mipiyu Ki Malach Hashem Tzvokoy. So what does the Chinuch mean when he says that maybe the Rambam is treating it like Tmura? So he means the Gemara Masechtas Tmura Daf Gimel Amid Beis, where the Gemara is discussing the Halacha of Lav Shein Bei Maisa. And Rabbi Yochanan said that even though making Tmura is a Lav Shein Bei Maisa, still the Halacha is going to get Malkus. And the reason is the Bidiburay Ovid Maisa. Rashi says that Lav Shein Bei Maisa means A, I didn't do a Maisa. B, no Maisa happened as a result of what I did. So you ask a man on the street, what's a lav shein bei ma'isa? He's like, I did a lav, but I didn't do a ma'isa. If it didn't involve the physical act, I didn't break a sweat with what I did, that's a lav shein bei ma'isa. That's only partially right. That's half the answer. There's another part of the answer. This is the rest of the story. The other part of the answer is, it has to be that A, I didn't do a ma'isa. B, no ma'isa came about through what I did. When a person creates tmura, b'diburay avid ma'isa. So even though what he did didn't involve a ma'isa, he just talked. But through what he said, a ma'isa took place. How so? There was a chalos hekdesh. So something happened by what he said. As a result, is the same thing. If someone's makdish about mum, the hekdesh is chal. See, even though he didn't do a ma'isa, but being that there was a chalos hekdesh, b'diburi avin ma'isa, and being that b'diburi avin ma'isa, that should be enough. Sounds like a very posh teretz. So why does the Chinuch say in Reish Pei Vav it's Tzarech Talmud, and even here the Chinuch is getting all excited, ve'elav nishma, ve'toyer nevakish me'piu, ki malach Hashem tzvokos. The reason is because if you look at the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Tmura, when the Rambam says you get Malkus for Tmura, he doesn't bring Rabbi Yochanan. He says a different shot. And everybody asked the Magid Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah, and there's so much raid on this, why the Rambam didn't pass it for Rabbi Yochanan's halacha. So Rabbi Yochanan's halacha Tmura Daf Gimel Amud Beis would be a perfect yisha for this Rambam. The problem is the Rambam Lashitosa in Hilchos Tmura gave a different reason. The Rambam says it's a chiddush atayra that you get Malkus for Tmura. If it's a chiddush atayra by Tmura, that's by Tmura. That has nothing to do with Shloim Nakdish Bali Mumin Lakrivu Lamizbeach. But this is already a conversation for another day. But just one geshmak. As it relates to this, the chinuch was matmi on the Rambam. How do you get malchus for the issa shloi nakdish bali mumin lakrivu lamizbeach? L'chayrus a lav shei ma'isa. Says the mechaschinuch, I have a hechitimtzo. Would be a lav shei yesh ma'isa. You ready? What would be if the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur brought the shnei seirim? One is going to go Lashem, and the other one's going to go Lazazel. And one of them had a mum, or both of them had a mum. And now he makes the geirah. Over there, the chalois hektish, the Lashem, the Lazazel, the chatos is chal, ayyidei the geirah.
A geyrul is a maisa. So being that the geyrul is a maisa, over there, l'chayr says the mechas chinuch, you're going to be oivish lay naktish bali mubin ar kipa mizbeach. And he says it's poshut, I think. And being that you're going to for sure be over the iser, so based on that, l'chayr, I did the iser with a maisa. So zok to mechas chinuch on two levels. Number one, you could say that's what Rama meant. He didn't mean every time. He meant in a case where you did a maisa. For oid, you could say the Magid Mishnah in Perik Yud Gimel Hilchas Chiras, who said that once any lav that you could do al yedei maisa, even if you do it shaloy al yedei maisa, that's already enough for it to be a lav sheyesh by maisa. So zok to mechas chinuch, now you're touching on dvarim natik and festeray. But once I could find the hechatimsa that you could be over this iser al yedei maisa, so that already opens up a pesach, the floodgates open for us to be able to say raid and raid bites, verbs to try to explain what exactly the Rambam. But the emes is in this Minchas Chinuch, again, we're not learning Masechtas Yuma now, but in this Minchas Chinuch, there's really a few chedushim. Number one, you can argue that the Goyrel, that's Me Hashem Yatzah Adavar. So who said the chalois of the Goyrel is Nesyachis to me enough that I should get Malkus for creating the Goyrel? And the truth is, we know the Ramban in Parshas Achrim, he says that the reason that the two serum had to happen all day Goyrel, because the one Lazazel didn't go for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it went for Sarish HaLesav, and there's an element of Avodah Zarah there, and if you would be Makdish it yourself, there'd be a Shaila of Avodah Zarah. And as a result, it had to be done Dafka all day Goyrel. So it should be Me'ashem Yatzah Adavar. So to the extent that it's Me'ashem Yatzah Adavar, then why is it that Me'echatesi, it's even a Siyah to me, so Mechatesi, I should get Malkus. That's the first R. The second R is the Mechas Chinuch seems to be suggesting that the way the Goyrel worked is the Goyrel created the Chatas. Now this is another way to learn it, perhaps. Maybe the Kohen made it a Chatas. Kohen said, this is a Chatas, that's a Chatas. We just have to determine right now which one goes Lashem and which one goes Lazazel. That's the Shiloh. So it could be the Goyrel's not giving it the Chatas. The Goyrel's, I am Mechas Chinuch, this is already festered, Vadvar Matikim. That's the first R. The second R, and this is the digression, something that we've spoken about a few times, and I think it's Gishmak to go back to. So in the beginning of the Daf, the Gemara mentioned that there was a chamber in the Beis HaMikdash, it was called Shushan Abira. Why was it called Shushan Abira? Because it had a picture of the skyline of Shushan Abira. Now, we had this together not so long ago. Truth is, it's a little longer than it feels like. It was Masechtas Menachos, Daf Tzadik Chesam and Aleph. And over there, the Gemara brought two pshatim. Why the Chachamim did this? I mean, at first glance, it seems a little bizarre. So why would the Chachamim have this picture in the Beis HaMikdash? Mamish, the holiest of all places of Shushan Abira, which was a secular city. So what's Pashup Shat? Zok the Gemara, Rav Chizda, for Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Chad Amar once said, Kedei Sheyedu Meheichan Bo. So we should remember, and the other one said, Kadesh Tehe Emas Malchus Saleh. So the second shot's a little bit more explanatory. Remember that we're under the governance of the Persian Empire, and as a result, we have to be afraid of them because you never know what could happen. So there's an idea of you have to be respectful for that and be cognizant of it and mindful of it because the repercussions can be serious. So it was an Indian of Emas Malchus Aleim that they put it even in the Mokum HaMikdash, certainly emphasizing and driving home this point. But the first pshat's a little bit unclear. Kedei Sheyedu Meheichan Bo. So you should remember where we came from. What's Pashu Pshat? Zok Rashi, Kedei Sheyedu V'yiru Meheichan Bo V'yitnu Hoida L'Malchus Shoyitzio Misham. Because if you know Jewish history, Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzradon, and Sarat HaBochim destroyed the first base of Mikdash to Yidin to Bavel. The Persian and Median Empire, in a joint venture, overthrew the Babylonian Empire, and the Yidden then went from being subject to Bavel to being subject to Paras Umadai. It was when the Yidden were under the governance of Paras Umadai that the Yidden built the second Beis HaMikdash. And they did it per shus. It wasn't a covert operation. They were given permission. The Melech of Paras Umadai at the time was Dayavish, who was the son of Esther and Achashverosh, and he gave the Yidden permission to build the Beis HaMikdash. And as a result, the Chachamim felt that the Yidden had to have a Koras HaToiv to the Malchus of Paras Umadai for giving them permission to go ahead and build the second Beis HaMikdash. And that was the idea of having it. It wasn't Emas Malchus. It was simply an element of Hakaras HaToiv. The idea was being Makir Toiv to the Medina of Paras Umadai that gave the Yidden permission to go ahead and to build the second Beis HaMikdash. Just one Ha'ara. The Gemara says in Masechtas Avodah Daf Tesam and Aleph that the second Beis HaMikdash stood for 420 years. It was only 34 of those 420 years that we were under the governance of Paras Umadai. So Yesh Lachgar. After those 34 years, when Alexander the Great defeated the Persians. And at that point, we were going to be, for the next 180 years, under Golus Yavon, and no longer part of Samadai. Did they still have this chamber called. But the Mishnah, it sounds like, yeah, this sounds like they always had this Shushan Abir. Could be it's totally in the Tub Shatim. If the idea was Shatei Emas Malchus Aleim, so what are you seeing Shushan Abir for? That's water under the bridge. That's bygones. That, but if it's because of Yitnu Hoidah and to have a Karas HaToiv for who gave us permission to go ahead and to build the Beis HaMikdash, then L'chera, based on that, maybe there'd be mucking to have it even in the second, to even have it after those 34 years, just from a historical standpoint, something to ponder. But just to conclude with one Chassam Sofer, and that is, we've spoken about the Chassam Sofer many times, it's a Chosha Mishpat, it's in Simen Kuf Tzadik. Where's all the Svarim? Oh, so it's a Chosha Mishpat Simen Kuf Tzadik with exactly. So the Chassam Sofer says, so yeah, again, we don't have to go through the whole Arichas, but what happened was the Chassam Sofer got a letter from the Kehila in Wien. So apparently the emperor, the Kesar at the time, was going to be coming to the Kehila, and they were going to make him a big Kabbalah Sponim, and what the Kabbalah Sponim was going to be in the Shul. And apparently the minig was, when you'd make a Kabbalah Sponim for the Kesar, the children would come and they would sing songs, they would serenade the Kesar. The boys would and the girls would. The question was, should the girls do it? Why not? It's Kobi Sha'erva. So maybe it's something that's not okay. And they sent this Shaila to the Chassam Sofer, and they wanted to know from the Chassam Sofer what he thinks they should do. So first, the Chassam Sofer says that there's no question that we have an obligation, there's a mitzvah to go ahead and to serenade the king. This cover that you plan on doing for the Melech is something that you should do. I know. 1,000%. It's definitely something that you should do. And he says that that's true for Melech. That's where Eliyahu gave kavod to Achav. And Moshe Rabbeinu gave kavod to Paroi. So he says, if this is true for kings that were Rishon, Vimzebe Melachim Rishon Maritzim, Manasa Yikor Gedula LeKesar Chosid, Asher Anachnu V'Harbei Revavais B'Yisrael Chayim B'Tziloi, V'Hu Lehem L'Mogen U'Michsa U'Mister, Noisom Yad V'Shem L'Hachzik Mois Terasim Edasim. And then the Chassam Sofer says things that only the Chassam Sofer could say. Ilu Finu Moler Shir Kayom, U'Shenein Arinu Kaman Galov, Lo Yispoi Glonu Lahalel U'Lashabche Al Ribei Toivois Avimonu. He's referring to the Kesar. U'Mize Ho'ish Asher Yekal Be'ein of Mitzvah. Any person who's going to make light of this obligation, he says, a person like that, who could do that? He's rhetorically, he says, well, you have a havamina that what we're doing, of course, we have no choice. Stating that, as it relates to Kol Bisha'erva, he says, I have a whole different take on this. You think that by having the girls come and sing for the king, that's going to be covered. The biggest cover you can give the Kesar is to not have the girls sing. And he's going to want to know, why not? What's the pshat? Every kila I go to, it's boys and girls. And you're going to tell him that the reason is because we have a Torah, and in the Torah it says, Kol Bisha Erva, and you give us the freedom to practice our religion. He said, the greatest covet you can give this melech is to show him the freedoms that he's bestowing upon you. So you think you'd be mechabedim by having the girls, or just the opposite? Just the opposite. That means you're afraid of him, that you're not able to keep the Torah the way you want to keep it. The biggest covet, zeu kvoidev etafart. That's what the Chassam Sofer said. We've gone through this tshuva together a few times, and it always bothered me. What was the havamina that it would be okay? Kol bisha erva, it's halacha psuka. The Chassam Sofer came with this whole chap. What would be the havamina? Again, the theme is that we got the digression. But the point is, what would be the havamina? Kovet lo, he meant tchia? Is that what he meant? But lemay sitzatayis, I realized that there's a very important Rambam. The Rambam's in the end of the third parak of Hilchos Avil. The Rambam says, we know that a kohen is not allowed to become tummy to a mace. There's certain things that the chamam would guise it, that even though we don't know for sure there's tumas mace, but midrabanan it's going to be a problem. Says the Rambam, mutu le kohen le stame beveis haprasa b'chutz laharetz. Any tumah derabanan, a kohen's allowed to be metametu le dvar mitzvah. B'man she'en sham derech Elohi. Kigoy, shahalach li si shalom le tair. A kohen wants to get married. A kohen wants to go learn Torah. He's going to have to be metame tumah derabanan. It's okay. Afal pi she'yesh v'chein mistame v'tumah shal devreim lo kavod abriyas. You can do it for kavod abriyas as well. V'chein, says the Rambam, medalgin al gabi aroyne shal meisen likras malachim. You're allowed to walk on top of aroyne shal meisen, a kohen can, to go see a king. V'afilu malchei goyim. Even a non-Jewish king, says the Rambam, a coin's not to be metamah tumah derabanan, but l'dvar mitzvah he could. And then the Rambam gives an example of a dvar mitzvah. You want to see a king? You can be metamah tumah derabanan. You want to see even a non-Jewish king? You're going to go to Kabbalah's partner for a non-Jewish king, the Rambam, even tumah derabanan. Now the Rambam's talking about tumah, but I'm going to tell you a tshuva from the Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer, Arachaim Simon Lamed Zayin, wrote a tshuva to his brother, Reb Shimon Sofer. Ksav Sofer, Ksav Sofer, Reb Shimon Sofer. So he wrote a tshuva to his brother, Reb Shimon Sofer. Listen to the shaila he was asked. Reb Shimon Sofer said that the Kesar was coming to town, And the minig was amongst the Yidden, when the case would come, they'd give him kavod, and they would greet him holding the Sefer Torah. But the day that he's arriving to town is Yom Kippur. And he wanted to know, can we go out on Yom Kippur, and can we hold the Sefer Torah? What was the Shaila? There was no Erev. And if there's no Erev, you're not allowed to carry. So how can you carry a Sefer Torah? The Ksav Sofer wrote a tshuva, and the Ksav Sofer told his brother you could. Based on this Rambam. He said, because that shtot is a karmelis. It's not a real Rishus HaRabbim. So the Israelite saw is only an Issa D'Rabbanon. If it's only an Issa D'Rabbanon, the Rambam says, Kovin Melachim, even Malchi Umay Sa'olam is Doicha Tumid D'Rabbanon. Mali Tumid D'Rabbanon, Mali Issa D'Rabbanon. You can be Doicha Tumid D'Rabbanon. Pischei Tshuva brings this, not B'Shem the Tzav Soif, it's not, he brings it B'Shem, another one of the Gdolim, a very similar Tshuva, he brings it in Yeridei. But the point is, Zok the Tzav Soifer, based on this Rambam, that he's Sure D'Rabbanon on Nitche. Then what's the makar to this? The makar is the Gemara Masechet Brachos Daf Yutes Amud Beis, where the Gemara is discussing the halacha gav the kavod abriyah shadaycha leisur shebetayro. Amar Rabbi Elazar Rab Tzadik medalgan oyinu al gabe aroyne shel mesim likre malchi Yisrael v'loy likres malchi Yisrael bavad el afilu likres malchi Yakum. And the Gemara says, you see from here gav the kavod abriyah shadaycha leisur. The Gemara says no raya. That was kavod malachim is other. But it's mefurish the Gemara. Parenthetically, Rashi says, Rabbi Elazar Rab Tzadik said, we used to jump on top of the graves to go see the Malchei Yisrael and the Malchei Umar Zadok. How do you know Rabbi Elazar Rab Tzadik was a Kayan? Zok Rashi. The Rabbi Elazar Rab Tzadik Kayan have it because they're meaning B'chayrus Daflam and Vavam and Aleph. The truth is, if you learn B'chayrus Daflam and Vavam and Aleph, it doesn't mention Rabbi Elazar Rab Tzadik. It doesn't say it was a Kayan. It says Rab Tzadik was a Kayan. Tzadik was a kai, Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik was a kai. Back to the envelope arithmetic, very geschmack. But the point is, no, oh, you're masking the cheshmer. But either way, what do you have? Yeah. But the lesson come on. Right, but the point is, what do you see over here? That was a shout out to Joey. But what do you see from here? What you see from here is this idea that Kavod Melachim is Doichi Yisuri D'Rabban. The Ksav Sofer wrote this in a Truva to Rav Shimon Sofer. They were humming Goitza and Yom Kippur and a Karmel. It's half of a fella. But either way, Kol Bisha Erva, is an Issa De Raisa or is it an Issa D'Rabban? That's a bazundurish boost. But if it's the Rabbanon, then it's very geschmack the Chsam Sofer. The Chsam Sofer held up covered Malachim. You have this Rambam, Perikimul, Halach Yudalid, and Hilchazov stating that he had a cheshbon why he felt that you shouldn't do it.